Father, this is your word, and we are grateful for it. We praise you for seeing to it that this translation has been handed to us down through the years, and it is intended for our encouragement, for our instruction, for our growth. Lord, I pray that you do all of those things. And Lord, most of all, I ask you to awaken in our hearts a love for you that continues to grow and deepen. May we never sit still in our pursuit of you. May we never be content with all that we know of you. You're infinite. We will get to know you more and more throughout eternity. And I pray that you would put within us right now a desire to continue to know you more, to press on into spiritual maturity, not to give up and not to get sidetracked by every other voice that would call us away. So Lord, give us the ability to hear what you would have us hear today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work in every heart, doing what only you could do. So Lord, I pray, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't know if you know it, but there is a battle for your attention. Every time you install an app, there's a little request that says, can we enable notifications? Media outlets, news organizations, everybody wants to push notifications to your phone to get your attention. And people will pay incredible money to get your attention. In fact, next week, during the Super Bowl, do you know what the going rate is for a 30-second time slot? $5 million just to get your attention. There are many who want your attention. There is a battle for your attention. We love attention. In fact, I remember in high school, some friends of mine and I went out to a pizza place for one night, and we were all seated around a little table, and it was packed, and everybody's having a good time, and this guy stands up on a chair in the middle of the restaurant, and he says, excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Excuse me, of course, the hubbub is all, kind of high level, so he, excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Just persisted very patiently. I thought, goodness, is something wrong in the restaurant or what? And finally, everybody generally quiets down and everybody turns to this guy and he looks all around for about 10 seconds and he said, thank you. I just love attention. And he sat back down. And everybody did exactly that. We all just cracked up laughing and went back to our pizza. We love attention. And this morning, this passage is intended to get your attention. And it's much more difficult for us to be able to pay attention to what God's word says than any other thing in the world. There are lots of distractions, but this is the main idea of this particular passage. I want to read it for you. Here's what you are to get. If God justly punished those who neglected his word sent to them by angels, then how much more will he severely punish those who neglect his word sent by his son? That's what we're to hear. Because God loves his son. He loves Jesus before time began. There was a glorious relationship of wonderful fellowship and union between father and son before any of us ever showed up. And yet Jesus comes to give a message to us from God the Father. And God loves him. Two times he spoke out loud to the world to get our attention, to focus our attention on his son. This is what God said. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. God is trying to get our attention, to focus our attention on the son. And if you think, well, I'm a Christian. We're all good people. This is not for us. I just want to turn your attention back to the very first verse. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. Who's the we? We must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so we won't drift from it. This is, the author is writing to, this is the, what's this book called? The letter to the Hebrews. The Hebrews are God's chosen people. And so he calls us to get our attention. We're included. We're part of the we. If you are a child of God, the we here is for you. So we need to hear this. This is not something that's not for us. I'll just read it again. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Do you hear the author pleading with you? Don't let your attention wander, because you will wander away into destruction. That's the first observation from this. If we are to pay attention, we are to pay attention because if we don't pay attention to this great salvation, the nature of this world is we drift. There's a nautical idea that's communicated here. So imagine a boat on the ocean. It doesn't sit still. There's a current that carries it away. And if you aren't actively moving towards the Lord, you will drift away from Him. And if you don't change course, you will drift into destruction. That's the point of the author. Message that God sent to mankind through angels in the Old Testament, every message carried with it the weight, an obligation of obedience and listening to heed this message. I don't know where you are. Some of you have begun reading a reading plan that carries you through the Bible. I just read halfway through Genesis right now. And I just came across this incredible story of, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that story, you remember God sends two angels to rescue Lot and his family from the destruction that's coming. And they're so inattentive to the holiness and righteousness around them that they can't even get out. They linger. The angels are saying, "Come on, let's go." That's like a conversation some might have on Sunday morning, right? You're getting ready for service. Can we please get out of here? They're not paying attention. So the angels act to actually drag them out of the city, and they give them instruction. They say, flee to the mountains and do not look back. Go to the mountains or you'll be swept away with the destruction of the city. They go off. They finally go off. But Lot's wife does not listen to the instructions that's given by angels. When the destruction of the city starts, she turns around to see what happens. Is it a longing or a yearning that caused her to want to go back? She turned around. She yearned to go back. And the Bible tells us she died for it. She was turned into a pillar of salt. She suffered because she did not pay attention to the message that was given by angels. And some of you might think, that's myth, right? That's just a story. It's not true. Just remind you, in 2015, the Washington Post published an article explaining the work of archaeologist Dr. Stephen Collins of Trinity Southwest University, who since 2005 has been spending 10 years excavating a site in Jordan Valley called Tal HaLaHarmath, which he says fits the perfectly description of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as they excavated the site, they found a city beneath it. Walls, structures. He's convinced this is the site of Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter believed that this was a true story. Peter did not think that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah was a myth. In 2 Peter 1:16, he says this, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we told you, we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." A couple of verses later, he says, "You'll do well to pay attention to this." Peter believed that God had recorded that story of Sodom and Gomorrah because it stands as a witness against those who would disbelieve and disobey the gospel. So Peter uses the same words as the author of Hebrews. Pay attention. You'll do well to pay attention to this. We would do well to pay attention to what God is saying to us through Jesus. And yet, how many of you know it is so easy to get distracted? So easy. There are so many things that pull our attention away from where it ought to be. Question for you. Which is easier to pick up, your phone or your Bible? Which is easier, to tap the weather app or the Bible app? Which is easier, to watch TV or watch over diligently your own heart? How much easier is it to talk to a stranger on the bus than God Almighty, whom you love? How much easier is it to find anything to do other than praying? How much easier is it for us to just give in to sin rather than expending the energy that's required to fight against it? It's easy to do nothing and fall into sin. That's the nature of our world. It's imbalanced in the wrong direction. We constantly are being pulled away. If you're not actively moving towards the Lord, you're going to drift from Him. Are you drifting? This life is so broken in this world and dominated by sin that if you're not actively pursuing God, you will be pulled away from Him. You will drift away. It's like being in a river. When you're rowing, you're moving. If you stop for any moment in a river and you stop rowing, what happens? You don't sit still, do you? You go backwards. At the ocean, you've been to the beach. You've been playing in the water. You put your towel and all your bags of goodies down and your food. You go out in the water. You start playing. What happens in 5 minutes? The towel, everything's way up here. We drift. It's the nature of our world. And the spiritual reality is the same thing. We will drift from the Lord if we are not actively pursuing Him. So Paul said it this way: set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. And James says it this way: draw near to God and He will draw near to you. If you neglect your Savior, you will drift from Him. Spiritual passivity will get no one into heaven. And you know there are 10,000 voices clamoring for your attention, striving to keep you from focusing on your Lord and Savior. Drifting is easy. The author of Hebrews is here to call you to an active faith of pursuing the Lord. So pay close attention to this salvation. If not, you will drift into destruction. Second observation. Pay close attention because there are great witnesses to affirm the truthfulness of this great message. Verses 3 and 4. It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. God knows we need reasons to believe. He doesn't want you taking a massive leap in the dark with no evidence to support it. He doesn't get angry when we ask for Him to reveal Himself to us and show us His power. He knows we need those things. What He gets angry at is when we reject what He's put out right in front of us, when we refuse to believe what we've seen. And there is a great salvation. Just pause for a moment. What's so great about this salvation that we have? What is so great about it? Think about it for a moment. That God has done for us that what we could not do for ourselves. That this holy, holy, holy God and us who are sinful, 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 how could we have a happy communion with Him? Except that our sin is taken away, and yet we're completely dead in our sins, unable to do anything to free ourselves from that bondage. And the wonder and the greatness of it is, He comes and rescues us. He comes and gets us. He effects that salvation, and He wants to reveal Himself to us. There are people in this room who have been brought to faith by saying, Lord, I don't see You. Will You give me eyes to see? Will You reveal Yourself to me? Will You show me Your power? Show me the wonders of Your word. God answers those prayers. And He did it just this past week, or 2 weeks ago. Come on up. You know who you are. At Deep Freeze. Deep Freeze is a winter retreat that our students go on, and these two shared a story with me that I was blessed by, and I want to allow them to share with you what they shared with me. You might want to say what your names are.
Yeah, I'm Alex Cravens, his son, and I don't do this often. I leave that up to him. But I go to school, me and
Miss Joy.
And we go to school together at LCA. It's a Christian school, but it's really sometimes hard to like express your faith. It's not really like a cool thing. Like being Christian there isn't cool. And so, I don't know, it's just like a lukewarm school, but it's still a Christian school, and no one will really like shame you or anything, but yeah. Anyways, so I was kind of like struggling with that, and just really like taking ownership of my faith. And so Thursday night, before we went for deep freeze, like a weekend retreat, I was just praying. I was like, God, why can't I just surrender myself completely to you? Why do I care so much about why do I care why people like think of me? And I just really needed some just way for him to reveal himself to me and show me that this is real and that he's powerful and that this is exactly what I need to do and to surrender myself to him. And that's basically how I went to bed on Thursday night. And then,
so then on Friday morning, I woke up with this like really weird idea in my head, and it just kind of like brewed, and it was like something I hadn't really thought about. But like Alex, I had been struggling with like the idea that it was really hard for me to express my faith, and I really wanted to. So I've been thinking about that for a while, and then all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, oh, that's it. Like, it was so funny. And I came to school, and when we went to chapel, I told Alex, and I was like, I think that we should like get people to, in our grade, because our school's big enough to not do it like the whole school, we're sophomores, so we're little. I was like, we should get people in our grade to just like be able to express our faith, show Jesus' love through us, like be vessels for God. And Alex looks at me and he goes, remind me to tell you an answered prayer. And I was like, okay. And then like chapel continued on, and there were just so many songs that were just like spoken to us, because it was just like, it was literally like as if God was talking to us, like, listen up, like, here I am. And it was really cool. So like we listened to like the Heart of Worship and stuff like that, and it was just like we both looked at each other and were like, whoa, like it was so cool. And then we went to study hall, and
So we had study hall together, and there wasn't really much for us to do. The day was kind of like over, and so we just started talking because we had to. That was just, I don't know, it was so cool. Like chapel just really touched us, and we started talking about like, I just told her like it was such like an answer to prayer. Just it gave me like this like urge that like I really need to do this. I really need to step over instead of living like on the line. And just we had conversations about like how like we prayed to God about something that like happened, and we clarified the idea of like trying to like be light in our grade, which was going to be not like an easy task, and we really needed him to like give us the strength. And we just realized like how many like similarities we had and like what we were thinking. Like we were on like the same page. It felt like God put us together, that we both needed each other, and that we couldn't do this on our like by ourselves, like on our own, but we had to do it together.
And then we got to Berea, and the name of the session was Color the Night. And it was really funny because we were like, wait, what? And it's all about being light and being unashamed. And it was literally exactly what we were talking about. And we just kept looking at each other like, oh, wait, what's going on? Because it was just so cool, because everything that we saw at Berea, which he'll talk about, is just was like literally exactly what we needed to hear, exactly what we needed to see. And like it was as if God was just like knocking and being like, I'm here, like, do you hear me? Do you want to hear me? And like when we really tapped into that, we just saw like a whole different idea of God that we hadn't really seen. So
And when the speaker started to talk, there's probably honestly like 20 to 25 things that we both just looked at each other and be like, wow, that's exactly what we needed to hear. And we just felt like God was literally talking to us sometimes. And it was just really, really powerful. And something that I really needed, like I needed to know like God's power. And then Joy told me to read Mark 5, and then it made me just like, you know, the story is that there was this man and he was demon possessed with a legion of demons, and how he, Jesus came up to him and he released him of the demons. He told them to go away, and the demons asked if they could go in the pigs and were like around, and they did, and they ran off a cliff and died. And then right when I had finished that, the speaker said that the power of God and God is, he's the same as he was back then as he is today. And that really made me think. I don't know, it feels like sometimes you can get caught up in this world like it's modern day, like that's Bible times, but really he's the same as he is today.
That's right.
And that was really hard for me to like understand, and it felt really, really good to like realize that. Also, when we were worshiping, I felt, I was very, very emotional, and I just felt like I could really worship God for the first time in a really long time. That there wasn't anyone for me to like really impress or anything. I was just there to worship God, and there wasn't any like older kids that I was trying to impress. There's lots of middle schoolers, so I thought that I could be a really, really good example, and I don't know, it just felt really, really good to do that.
And then when I was worshiping, I felt this giant wave of peace on me, and then something that fills me like with great fear, like to this day, just like overwhelmed me, and I was really freaked out. And all of a sudden, I was like looking around. I was like, "Why am I crying?" And then it came. And so I actually talked to Michaela Cravens, also his daughter, and we prayed in the bathroom. And I was really like afraid. And I didn't know why. It felt like everything was gone. Like, I was just totally afraid. And then we were reading the Lord's Prayer, and then the next song was talking about how we were no longer a slave to fear. And, like, the peace was just back, and it was really weird. And it totally felt like God was like, okay, here's life in my presence. Now here's life not in my presence without knowing me. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, the most surreal thing I've ever felt. And it literally, like, overwhelmed every aspect of who, like, my body and stuff like that. So it was really real. Like, God was just real. And then I looked at Alex after, and we're like, we need to pray. So we went upstairs, and it was, like, literally as if the Holy Spirit took over. And we prayed for a lot of things. Like, we prayed for courage. We prayed for school. We prayed for our friends.
And we just really just prayed for each other that this wouldn't just be a weekend, that it would carry on, and that it wouldn't like just stay here, that we would come back and just be light in our grade. And I prayed for specific people, but that wasn't really me. That was the Holy Spirit in me, just praying for my friends who needed God. And that was just, I don't know, it was really powerful. I haven't really prayed like that in like, I don't know, maybe forever. So that was really, really cool. And then Anthony, one of the leaders, came up and he was like, "Guys, they're closing the gym." We're like, "Oh." So we had to leave. We didn't even notice, but we'd prayed for like 40 minutes probably. And then we started talking to him about it.
Yeah, so we went outside, and it's like literally 12 o'clock and it's freezing out. And we're just out there, and it wasn't even like we were cold. Like, we were just like so ecstatic and stuff. So he was just encouraging us like to not let this be a weekend thing, like not let this just be a Jesus high. And we were like, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It was so exciting. We just felt so happy and, like, really, like we were doing the right thing. So we decided that, like, Alex would walk me back to my cabin. And as we're walking back, we were like, we need to pray again. So we ended up recommitting our lives to God that night and just saying, like, this is the God that I want to have be my life. Like, this idea of what you're putting in my heart, like, I want that to be what I believe in. So it like really was an life-altering weekend with the way that we got to just express, yeah.
Sorry. And I just remember after, it just felt so good, and I was walking back to my cabin, and I almost cried. I was just so overwhelmed and filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was just unbelievable how like God had revealed himself to us, and just how he did it with both of us. He didn't just do it with one of us, and he used each of us to... like iron sharpens iron, you really just use both of us together to do what we needed to do because we couldn't do it by ourselves. So yeah, thank you.
Amen. So what I'm hearing is God got your attention. He revealed himself in power. He confirmed the message of the gospel in your life in a dramatic way. God uses a powerful affirmation of the gospel to draw you to himself. He continues to do that to this very day. And you heard that story. And about the same day, we got an email from one of our missions partners who shared a story of a man in China who had been praying for 7 years to have a child who could not. And his parents were Buddhist. they purchased an amulet and took it to a Buddhist witch and asked a special blessing on this amulet in order to help him have a child. And his father mailed this to him. When he received it in the mail, he took it out. He realized what it was. He threw it on the floor. He stomped on it, broke it, and then threw it out the window. And he called his father and he said, "I don't want to have anything to do with Buddhist witch or anything of these amulets. And you, if you want to be okay with God, you need to go and repent." And his father said, "I don't know what repent means." His son said, "You need to go into an inner room in your house and get on your knees where no one can hear you and say, 'God, I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. Will you please forgive me?'" His father did this. And then later his wife, things began to change. His wife had a dream that one of their family members came and said to them, "Your son and daughter-in-law will get pregnant. And this will be a sign that you need to trust in Jesus." He didn't tell his son this, but 2 months later, they did get pregnant. And the father and the mother understood that to be a sign from God, confirming that they need to put their faith in Jesus and turn away from Buddhism. And so they did. This young man now has a little daughter who is presently in the hospital because she's having some lung complications. But my point in telling you that is, don't think God is not a God of power who will confirm his mission and his gospel through Jesus. If two young people praying for God, "Will you reveal yourself to us? Will you give us the faith?" And God reveals himself. We've got a guy in China who's helping his father come to faith. What are we doing? God is willing to demonstrate his power because he affirms the message with witnesses. Jesus first told us, is what the author of Hebrews says. Then the apostles came along. They confirmed the witness. And then God comes along and he affirms the gospel by signs and wonders and miracles. The gospel is true. Our God is real. He is powerful and we cannot fail to pay attention to him. We cannot ignore him. We must pay attention to this great salvation. And then lastly, the last few verses, verses 5-9, they're kind of confusing. I'm going to read them, but I want you to get it. Just listen with spiritual ears, please, because this, we pay attention to this, just Jesus, because he is a king. He is a reigning king who became a suffering servant. A reigning king of all of the universe laid down his life for us. That's what that verse says. So listen again. "For it was not to angels," this is verse 5 if you're following in your Bible, "it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere," it just happens to be Psalm 8, "what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. And now, in putting everything in subjection under his feet, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Now, how does this support the argument that you ought to pay attention to this great salvation? It's a little complicated, but essentially what he's saying is you need to pay attention to this great salvation because the guy who got you this great salvation died in doing it. He poured out his life, and he's not an angel. He's the eternal Son of God whose years never come to an end. His authority is unrivaled. His authority is, he possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. And this is the guy who laid down his life for you. And actually, when he's quoting Psalm 8, what he's doing is he's thinking back to Adam. Because God gave Adam dominion over the whole earth. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. And yet Adam failed in exercising that dominion. He fell from that intimate relationship with God, and sin entered and separated the two of them. This Jesus, this great Savior, not an angel, he came, became human again. He fulfilled the dominion mandate. He rightly ruled. He perfectly obeyed. And this Jesus is the one who then chose to offer up his life and die for us. So pay attention to this salvation, because Jesus died acquiring it for you. So how do you think you're going to get off the hook if you ignore him? That's the point. This man who fulfilled all that God intended for humanity, if you neglect him, then you will not be let off the hook. So in conclusion, imagine it this way. I like to run. Imagine I'm running around Horn Pond. On the lower side of Horn Pond, there's a dam. And there is a huge mound of snow that has crept in over the sidewalk. And the space to run by that mound of snow is about this far. Imagine that I'm running down that little narrow piece. There's cars, there's traffic going by. And there's another guy who's coming right at me. And as I run through, I think I can beat him past this little narrow pass. And yet as I go by, my right foot hits the edge of that slope snow and sends me out into the street. Well, the other guy is coming right at me. Just in time, he grabs my wrist, and in swinging me out of the way of the traffic that he sees is coming, his momentum carries him into the path of a bus. And then imagine this. He's in the hospital, on death's bed, near the end of his life. Do I go and visit him? No, I'm too busy. Do I go to the rehab hospital? While he's in recovery, he's made it through. He looks like he's going to make it. It's months of learning how to walk again. Do I go and sit with him? No, I don't have time for that. Or the scars, do I pay attention to the scars that he permanently has because of that injury? No, I have other things more important to do. And then one day I see that man, scarred as he is, back at Horn Pond again. And he passes me walking on crutches and says, "Hey, you're the guy I yanked out of the way of the bus." And I say, "I don't recognize you. I'm on my way." When I stand before God Almighty and give an account of my life, will he say to me, "It's okay, you were busy. It's fine that you didn't visit this man who nearly gave his life for yours. It's really okay. I know you were busy, God. You had lots of stuff to do, preach sermons to preach, people to talk to." Is that what God would say? No! He will smack me down for my careless, ungrateful behavior. How much more then will we who neglect our Savior, the eternal Son of God, who died for us, if we neglect him, will God say, "It's okay"? He will not. And I plead with you, do not neglect such a great salvation. Do not neglect a Savior who gave his life for you, for it will not go well with you at the end of your life when you stand before his Father who cherishes his Son. And we look at us who have neglected him. Do you hear the author of Hebrews pleading with you to pay attention to Jesus? Give him your full attention. It's far easier to watch the Patriots than it is to figure out, who is this Jesus? It's so much easier to pick up a phone than a Bible. And I plead with you, seek him with all of your heart. Go after the Lord Jesus with all of your might. Acknowledge him before this world. He is salvation. And who will escape if they neglect him? We won't. He is our reigning King. Rejoice in him. He has all power and authority. And he laid down his life for us. So we can stand and say, "Praise the Lord. He granted me, the least of all people, least unworthy of all. He granted me salvation. He poured his blood out to save Todd Cravens from eternal destructions. I praise him. I want to stand and glorify that man, that God man. And I want you to stand and glorify him too. I want you to love him with all of your heart and do all that you can to help people know this wonderful God man who came down here and walked this earth so that we could walk with him in heaven. Let's pray together. Father God, would you pour out your grace on us? You, Jesus, conquered death. We had all things in subjection under our feet as men. We've done great things. We've built tall buildings. We've scaled mountains. We've learned how to explore the depths. We've gone out into outer space. Many things of the elements of this world are in subjection to us. And yet, we can't escape death. None of us. But you, Jesus, did. You conquered death for us. You tasted death on our behalf. And Lord, we praise you. I pray there's not a person in this room who would neglect you. God, give us the ability to love you and to pay attention to you. And please keep us from neglecting this great salvation that we have. Let us sing with all of our heart. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.